Dwayne Haskins here? Why did the Steelers sign him? What does it mean for Mason Rudolph? Heck, what does it mean for Ben Roethlisberger? Or does it really mean nothing to either of those guys and very little to the team overall? Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this, the newly reborn DK Sports Radio podcasting network. The Steelers signed Haskins to a reserve-slash-future contract last night after he paid a visit to Pittsburgh. He'd also visited the Panthers in Charlotte, and he came away impressed enough with Pittsburgh that he decided to accept the offer made here by Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin. There are some connections in play here. Tomlin and Haskins have the same agent, and you might wonder why that should mean anything. Well, it does. In this sense, Tomlin has the capability and the right, really, to go to the agent and ask him about everything that went wrong in Washington and have a pretty good feel for the fact that the agent would have to be honest with him. Whether that was Haskins' trip to the strip club, the violation of COVID that got him fined in Washington, some stuff in the locker room, whatever it was, Tomlin has a direct line to finding out what was true and what might have been inflated or distorted or just flat out wrong. So there's that. Tomlin also knows of Haskins' background. He really liked Haskins at Ohio State. Felt that this was a worthwhile NFL potential quarterback. And that matters, too. You hear that a lot, actually, from both Colbert and Tomlin when they acquire a player, even someone who you would think would be as much of a no-brainer as Minkah Fitzpatrick was, they refer so much more to what they learned about that individual through the draft process than anything that's happened in the NFL after that. When they talked about Minkah, it had nothing to do with what happened with the Dolphins, good or bad. It was all about what they thought of him or what they might have remembered from a pro day or from the combine or something to that effect. And furthermore, Tomlin always tells these guys when they show up in Pittsburgh that they do so with a clean slate. So all of that is an explanation as to why it might have happened, at least within Haskins' own context. The broader context, of course, becomes the more intriguing picture. This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by our new partners at Fubo TV. If you're not yet familiar with Fubo TV, you might want to change that. Your cable bill, if you're like most of the rest of us, is right in the $200 range. Fubo TV is $65 a month to watch all the same channels. You don't pay for the DVR and you get free installation. And with Fubo TV, there's an emphasis on sports. You'll never miss a game. They have NFL Network, NHL Network, NBA, MLB, the whole deal. And that now includes AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh, so you get all of the Penguins and Pirates games all season long. No risk to try it. Get full access to Fubo TV 7 days for free. Just give it a shot. And because you're listening to this, visit FuboTV.com/DK to get 15% off your first month. No contracts, you can cancel anytime. FuboTV.com/DK. See, here's the thing. For as much as the nation's going to be fussing about which quarterback on the roster this impacts the most, the truth is we have no idea about that until we are certain that Ben Roethlisberger is coming back. I think he's coming back. Maybe you think he's coming back. Maybe the Steelers think he's coming back. Maybe he thinks he's coming back. Maybe it still won't happen. Until there's an acknowledgement from both sides of that equation, not just one side, but both sides of that equation, that he wants to come back and the team wants him back. And if I can take it a step further, maybe there's some kind of extension put in place so that his cap hit can be more spread out over years to come, even if he only plays next season, so that the Steelers can keep some more of their pending free agents in the fold. We're just not going to know. We're just not going to know. But what we do know right now is that Josh Dobbs is going to be a free agent. This is in March. He'd be crazy to not leave. He had no chance to ever step above the number three role here. And he's looking for something that's higher than that. And he should. He should. Kid's got some ability. Got all the smarts in the world. He should at least be out on the market for a number two job. That's not going to be available here. At least it doesn't appear that way. Duck Hodges has already been cut. I didn't even notice when Paxton Lynch left, but he did. So all you're left with in the fold is Ben Mason and now Dwayne Haskins. That's it. So who does that impact? I mean, I guess you could make an argument that it impacts Mason Rudolph to an extent. I don't accept that. I can't conceive of the scenario in which Haskins would come into La Trobe learning the playbook from scratch after the rough 2 years that he had in Washington, especially this past one, and then just blow right past Mason on the depth chart. I'm not seeing that. I'm not feeling that at all. The impact on Ben, I don't know. See, you know, I brought up this thing yesterday about the Steelers finding a way to press Ben, you know, to push him a little bit, even at his age, even with everything that he's achieved, to make it clear to him that a lot of the stuff that was seen that could be pinned directly on him in 2020 wasn't right, wasn't acceptable, and maybe was solvable. Maybe he does need to practice on Wednesdays. Maybe he does need to work more closely with his wide receivers. Maybe he does need to be coordinated by a coordinator. Maybe he does need to throw downfield even when he's not feeling it. Maybe he does need to trust the running game even when it gets stopped on first down. None of that's going to penetrate unless he feels some kind of heat. Even if it isn't realistic, even if it isn't something that he'd believe, that it would still have to exist. And as such, I like the idea of Ben knowing, or at least thinking, that if he doesn't do well, that Mason Rudolph will be called in. If you think about that game in Cincinnati, in particular, or for that matter, the Cleveland game, where you just say, look, this thing where you can't get anything going in the first quarter and for the better part of the second quarter, that's just not going to cut it. We can't live like that. And if you keep doing that, we're going to put Mason Rudolph in. But on the other hand, if you enter a camp and say, well, what we're really going to have is a battle for number two between Rudolph and Haskins, then you're just anointing Ben all over again, and you're asking for a repeat. I'm sorry, but you are. I'm sorry that I can't say these things without, I'm sure, offending people who think that you should just speak of Ben in reverential tones, and there's nothing that he can do wrong, and we should always defer to his wishes. I'm not there. I'm not there after what we saw in the second half of the 2020 season. That looked to me like a quarterback on the decline. Yes, he still showed it in spurts. In particular, the now famous, often discussed second half of the Indianapolis game. But otherwise, no. No. The only time I saw the Steelers really look comfortable throwing the ball downfield, and that, by the way, is not something you put on a wish list. That's not optional. That's a must. You have to be able to do that in the modern NFL. The only times I saw them looking comfortable was Ben in the second half against the Colts and Mason the whole day at Cleveland. I'm not building up Rudolph into being something that he isn't. I've actually been mostly a skeptic of his through the better part of his time in Pittsburgh. But I really liked what I saw that day. And the mistakes that he did make against the Browns that day did look solvable to me. They looked like the kind of things that, you know, if only he'd had a chance to play a little bit more, you could work that out of his system. That is a big league NFL arm. And that's not something that you just bury because the other guy has achieved so much over such a long time. There does come a time when you turn the page, or at least begin turning the page. So where does Haskins fit in? Haskins is a strange case. For anybody who doesn't know, at Ohio State, he was third in the Heisman Trophy voting. That was in 2018. His career with the Buckeyes saw him complete 70% of his passes for 54 touchdowns and 9 picks. That's really, really good. I understand it's college ball. I also understand that in a lot of those games, the Buckeyes would overwhelm their opponent. That's also the nature of college ball, and you're going to run up some nice stats along the way. That's still really, really good. 70% completion rate is pretty good wherever you are. In Washington, in the NFL, again, after he was drafted 15th overall over his two seasons in Landover, he completed 60.1% of his passes with 12 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. This past season, he ended up with 5 touchdowns and 7 picks. Got released after week 16. Some of the issues I already mentioned. Running off to a strip club in a pandemic. Breaking other COVID rules. Some of his teammates felt that it was out of line for him to look all happy, almost celebratory after a game in which he threw for 300 yards against the Vikings. But the Vikings won the game by 14 points. Those are the kinds of things your teammates notice. When he was still at Columbus, a lot of the word was that he had maturity issues and that it was going to take him a while in that regard alone to mature into an NFL quarterback. Well, Dan Snyder, the very bad owner of the Washington franchise, and I say that in almost every context, interfered with football operations and insisted that Haskins play right away, and that didn't go well, and maybe it hurt him to the point where there was no recovery in that environment. Ron Rivera, Washington's coach, highly respected guy, insists to this day that Haskins has the capability to be a franchise quarterback. I don't know, man. You know, they just let him walk, and then nobody picked him up. And then he made 2 visits, and then the Steelers offered a reserve futures contract. That is not the sign that you'd want to support such a stance. But he's here. He has talent. He's young. He's 23 years old. And if something does come of him, then the Steelers will have legitimate depth and youth at the quarterback position that they haven't had in, 20 years, maybe longer? That's not a terrible thing. If he doesn't pan out, there's virtually no loss. There's nothing that you'd regret. You wouldn't worry about the roster spot. The only way any of this becomes an issue is if Ben were to retire, or the Steelers were to force Ben in some form to retire, in which case Mason's elevated to number one, and then Haskins is your backup, and you know, you start dealing with different dynamics that probably aren't worth getting into right now. There's nothing wrong with this signing. There's nothing wrong with it. The Steelers need youth at the position. They went and got somebody they liked a lot in college. They got him for absolutely nothing, no risk. Let's see how it goes. When we come back, just one question. Welcome back. Time for just one question. If you'd like to submit one of these, you can do so by visiting DK Pittsburgh Sports. Find the article that accompanies this podcast, go to the comment section under that, and leave it right there. This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by the personal injury law firm of Luxembourg, Garbutt, Kelly & George, LGKG. They represent people who are hurt in car accidents, who need help with workers' comp, who filed medical malpractice claims. The attorneys at LGKG pride themselves in doing what they say they're going to do. It's important to them that when they make you a promise, they keep that promise. LGKG has been keeping promises in our region for over 80 years. LGKG has offices in Cranberry, Newcastle, Beaver Falls, Butler, and Elwood City. You can learn more about them online at lgkg.com or by calling 888-842-5454. Today's Just One Question comes from Matt, who says, "Hey, Dayon, Marquise Pouncey's play has dipped quite significantly over the past year. If a center is the best player available for the Steelers in the draft this year, is it possible that Pouncey comes into next year as a backup or is simply cut?" Well, there's a lot there, Matt, even though you're just asking about one player, a lot of different scenarios. Marquise told Ramon Foster, who now writes for DK Pittsburgh Sports, that he's currently 50-50, that he's trying hard to look at both possibilities, retiring and returning, and he's not sure which way to go. My feel on this is that he'll retire. Now, as such, the Steelers will be in dire need of a center. Now, you can go get a center. They've done that. They've gone through free agency. You can find them without necessarily giving up a ton. You're not going to get a star, but you can find them. The Steelers' MO and the Steelers' respect for the position, I believe, is such that they'll look at a very high draft pick to fill it. Part of that is the history. I'm never one to pretend that that sort of thing doesn't exist. When you're the franchise of Mike Webster, Dermoni Dawson, and now Pouncey, and they've had other good ones along the way too. Don't want to forget guys like Jeff Hardings. They've had good players, great players, Hall of Fame players at that position. And with just a couple of exceptions along the way, they've passed the baton as well as any franchise in the NFL at that particular position. So I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if they looked for someone high. Is it the best available player? Do you make up your mind in advance that it's going to be your first-round pick? No, you can't do that. You have no idea who's going to be taken. You have to look at the entire class to see which positions are the strongest, whether a center should be taken that high. Remember, a lot of that discussion came up just this past year as it related to wide receivers. Well, the last thing the Steelers needed was another wide receiver, right? But the class was so absurdly deep in wide receivers. 10 deep, they said. Everybody said 10 deep. That even though the Steelers took the 11th receiver, that ended up being Chase Claypool, of course. So sometimes you got to make your decisions, more often than not, actually, you got to make your decisions based on what the class is more than what your need is. But you can, and I think should, arguably must, take a center very high. And I'll be surprised if the Steelers don't, unless, of course, there's just nobody worth taking, in which case you're looking for a stopgap. You might go through free agency. You might try a trade. But that would be my hope. That would be the thing that I think would make a lot of components about the Steelers' offense kind of settle down here. I say this with immense respect to Pouncey, but you're right. He wasn't himself. Not just this past year, but the previous year. That has nothing to do with a snap. Snap is a snap. I'm talking about run blocking, even pass protection, pulling. You just didn't see the same Pouncey. And I think he knows that too. So if you're going to move on at that position, you might as well move on big. Thanks for that, Matt. Thanks to everybody for listening all week. We'll do this again Monday.
At Point Park University, in the heart of downtown Pittsburgh, they understand there's no substitute for real-world experience and career-building connections. Their innovative curriculum engages students with distinctive experiential learning opportunities. Point Park's pioneering co-op program empowers qualified students to work in full-time, paid positions with their corporate partners while earning college credits. Visit pointpark.edu/works to learn more. Career ready. That's The Point, Point Park University.
Your front door, your car, your gym locker, your gun. Safety is a habit. Learn more about how to keep guns safe and secure. Visit projectchildsafe.org.